Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to this week's Brave New World programme. Now, if you didn't know, we're in the midst of a vitally important political endeavour. That is, the Conservative Party of Great Britain is electing itself a new leader who will automatically become the country's Prime Minister, literally within a few days. Now, apart from the obvious quandary as to what the United Kingdom is going to do in terms of Brexit, the new Prime Minister needs to present some kind of a clear foreign policy, something that has been sadly lacking in the last few months of the premiership of Theresa May. And I'd like to ask my guest, Adam Gary, Director of Eurasia Future, based in the UK, whether there are any indications as to how this might shape up. Under the two strongest candidates for leadership, Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt. Welcome to the programme, Adam.
Lovely to be here.
Adam, well, are there any kind of signs appearing? You know, soothsayers, are they predicting anything of how the UK might change or entrench its attitude towards, say, let's start off with Russia under new leadership?
Well, there's two choices for leader. There's Jeremy Hunt and there's Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
Hunt can be summarised quite succinctly because he's no different than Theresa May at all in terms of policies. In fact, all he is maybe a bit more well-spoken on some of the same policies that Theresa May tended to dither about on. For example, that about a day after Trump rolled back a would-be airstrike on Iran and said that we want to go back to a possible discussion table, a possible new Iran nuclear deal, Hunt came out and said, well, Britain's ready to go into war against Iran if America says so. And this was after Donald Trump had offered a fairly moderate a statement about why he didn't go into Iran. So that's Hunt, and I think that really, if that doesn't say everything you need to know about him, I don't know what does. Boris Johnson, who's almost...
Well, let's just hang on. Well, it doesn't tell me everything I need to know, actually. And just let me clarify that. I mean, he's what? Are you saying that Hunt's a sort of very much Trump's poodle type person?
Not even necessarily Trump's poodle, because he's not much of a fan of Trump personally, nor was Theresa May, frankly, but he's the kind of person who has this neocon Atlanticist policy where no matter who's in the White House, if that person wants war, a would-be Prime Minister Hunt would deliver that war on a silver platter.
Yeah. So what about his attitudes towards Russia? I don't think it's something that probably he's talked about in public, is it? If ever. But, you know, can you divine anything and read between the lines?
Not much other than the fact that he would continue the Theresa May status quo.
Okay.
I mean, it's a bit suspicious because Russia hasn't been on the news much in Britain or in America in the last few months.
It's really surprising. It's really odd. Something's got to happen, isn't it? I mean, it's very strange.
It feels that way. And I suppose maybe, just maybe, now that the Mueller report is done and the chips from that are already beginning to fall where they may, people are slowly moving on from the obsession with Russia, hopefully not to obsess with a new large country such as China, even though Trump's always been more obsessed with China than Russia. But in terms of the whole Russia gate and the various scandals like Skripal and the rest of it, it's all sort of faded away. But who knows? Something could always happen.
Yeah, with the Council of Europe now voting to perhaps allow Russia back in, as giving back voting rights, there could be a change going on of some kind. Yeah. Okay. Now, what about Boris? You know, what's his outlook? Can we know anything at all about what the man thinks about Russia? We know that his performance when he came to meet Vladimir Putin and the leadership in Russia a few months ago was not exactly stellar, was it? I think he embarrassed quite a few people, including members of his own party, with some of the comments that he made. And I won't repeat any of them because they, they're almost not repeatable, but certainly not the sort of caliber that a senior diplomat, in fact, the person who was in charge at the time of all the diplomats that the UK had, should make. Now, what about his feelings towards Russia? Do we have any indication at all about what the man might be doing with our foreign policy?
Well, unlike Theresa May, Boris Johnson actually does know a lot about the world he lives in. When May was on the verge of becoming PM, Kenneth Clark, former Chancellor of the Exchequer, respected politician, love him or hate him, but most respect him, he remarked that Theresa May knows nothing nothing about foreign policy, and my word, did that turn out to be true. Mm. Johnson actually does know about the world, which is why it's sometimes perplexing that he goes out of his way on many occasions to act as though he's someone who does. And insofar as that's the case, I actually don't think that his incredibly unremarkable period as foreign secretary should be overanalyzed, because throughout that time, his wings were generally clipped by the Bay cabal in terms of policy making, and all that left him was his gaffes, which he spouted generously. Mm-hmm. I think a better indication of where his foreign policy might be going is to look through some of the old articles that he wrote in places like The Telegraph and The Spectator, where he's had obviously very close relations professionally with both of those publications. And his views on foreign policy are often quite interesting. Throughout much of his journalistic career, he was something of a foreign policy realist. He was someone that almost had fun with it, a kind of healthy skepticism with a bit of British irony, to quote Jeremy Corbyn, the opposition leader. And that certainly puts him out of step with the kind of David Cameron, Theresa May, frankly, Tony Blair style of British foreign policy, which is essentially just rubber stamping whatever Bush, Obama, or later Trump would say in Washington. With Boris, policy isn't going to be a priority in his premiership. Brexit is obviously the huge priority, and even if that gets done before the 31st of October, all the domestic affairs surrounding Brexit, things like trade, small business regulations, immigration, job creation even, and then other matters stemming on from other domestic issues from there, those are going to occupy the vast majority of his time. That might actually be a good thing in terms of foreign policy, because it means that he might be too busy to do anything stupid, but it might mean he's just available enough to say some of the more nuanced and balanced and frankly intelligent things that Boris Johnson would frankly say before he became a front bench politician. So in that sense, Boris's views on foreign policy were much more interesting before he became a foreign secretary.
I'm really, really glad to hear what you just said. It gives me hope. I'm afraid my supply of hope kind of ran out actually in the last summer when he told us, UK citizens, basically warned us not to go to the football competitions happening in Russia because it would be like going to the Hitler Olympics in 1939. After that, my kind of impression and the impression of most Brits living in Russia at the time kind of just plummeted. You know, we just blanked Boris Johnson off completely. But if you're saying there's more to the guy than that, then I'm very, very happy about that.
There is, thankfully.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a short break here.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to this week's Brave New World programme. Today I'm talking with Adam Gary, the Director of Eurasia Future based in the UK, about a very important theme, and that is the foreign policy that our new leader, our new Prime Minister, will be adopting when he, whoever he is, there's only two of them now, Boris or Jeremy, becomes Prime Minister in literally a few weeks now. Adam, I think we had a very interesting discussion about Boris Johnson, but another whole factor is, isn't it, in this foreign policy business with the UK in particular, is our relationship with America. Now, I've seen photographs of Boris and Donald, you know, cozying up together in the same way I've seen photographs of Farage and Trump together, performing together on stage. Now, that would seem to me to mean that we're going to be looking forward to kind of a blossoming of US-UK relationships. What about Jeremy Hunt? Where does he stand in that game?
Well, he has very good relations with the American business community. I don't know if he's ever personally met Donald Trump other than at various state functions, and there haven't been too many of those. So it's not the chummy personal kind of relationship he has with Boris, which, as you quite rightly say, is similar to the friendship that Donald Trump has on a personal level with a Brexit Party leader and Mr. Brexit, as Trump calls him, Nigel Farage.
Yeah.
But Hunt is certainly pro-American in terms of his business Brexit policies. That being said, because Hunt is known as sort of a soft Brexiteer, he voted to remain, it could be that under Hunt, a would-be free trading agreement between the US and UK would be more difficult because he might well bind Britain into a long-term or even permanent customs union with the European Union, which would make Britain as unable to make a free trading agreement with countries like China, Singapore, Japan, Russia, United States, Canada, yeah, etc., as it is now. And so in that area, while Hunt is definitely pro-American and has many good contacts in the US in terms of the business world, when it comes to trade, Boris seems to be speaking the kind of language that Trump likes. And he certainly likes him on an individual level. So say that under Hunt, relations would be better than under May, because May and Trump just never really hit it off. But under Boris, I think it would be something of a special relationship, not least because Boris was a U.S. citizen until a few years ago. He was born in New York, and so there's that many layers of connection.
Yeah,
there.
Okay, that's something that, of course, most people aren't aware of, or they are aware, but they've forgotten it. I'd forgotten that. Thank you very much for putting it out. But we've also got the whole issue of things like the NHS, you know, which is a very emotional issue, isn't it? You're really pressing the emotional button there when you start talking about the NHS if you're a politician trying to, you know, boost your status or get into power. What's going to happen to the NHS, our dear beloved auntie? Auntie, not aunties in the BBC, don't let someone confuse, but dearly beloved healthcare auntie. What's going to happen to her if Boris takes over?
I don't think anything very different than what's happened under Theresa May in that respect.
Well, under Theresa May, we've had the NHS being sold off, you know, chunk by chunk, piece by piece.
Indeed. And it's this gradual selling off, which began in earnest under Tony Blair and has continued under every prime minister since, both Tory and Labour. I don't see that changing under Johnson, nor do I see this idea of some massive all-at-once sell-off, a fire sale. It's not going to be one thing or the other. Clearly, Labour, at least they claim that under Corbyn, they've reversed this Blairite trend of privatisation. With politics these days, one has to believe something when one sees it. But under Johnson, I don't see anything different than what's going on now. Obviously, a lot of people who are worried about the health of the NHS aren't so pleased with these privatization matters. I don't see a shift one way or the other under Johnson. The only possible shift might be that because Johnson has a way of pressing the buttons of the liberal media elite who just want to criticize him over anything, I think there might be a bit more scrutiny because, as you say, the NHS transcends left and right in terms of its support throughout Britain. And so anything even somewhat controversial that Johnson does, the media won't give him a pass, where with Theresa May, failure after failure, they were just giving her pass after pass. It made her look quite pathetic. I mean, a bit of scrutiny toughens one up, and she never got that.
Yeah, I think you very rightly brought in this word liberal media, and you also mentioned a few minutes ago the word realist, Boris Johnson being more of a realist, perhaps, than people realise. And then we're getting to geopolitical arguments of what's better, a realist or a liberal, you know, somebody in charge of the United Kingdom. And that's a question that I can't really answer. But if the guy's more realist and liberal in foreign terms and in foreign policy terms, does that mean that the UK then will become more like the US? Because you could argue that the US foreign policy is more realist than, say, European liberal democracies.
Certainly. Under Donald Trump, there's certainly been a departure from the very European-style Barack Obama, let's kill people in the name of human rights. So with Trump, it's more like pay up or we'll kill you. It's a bit like one of these bounty hunter shows, only backed by the world's most powerful military. Now, Britain obviously isn't the world's most powerful military, so it can't exert this kind of force unilaterally the way that the US can. But if Johnson shows his realistic side when he comes in, I think if anything, he could be a kind of mediating and moderating force on the more hawkish elements in Washington, so that, in other words, if John Bolton were to give Trump an earful about why 9 out of 10 countries need to be bombed tomorrow, don't ask why, if he then phones up his good friend Boris 5 minutes later, Boris might just tell him in his inimitable way that that isn't necessarily such a good idea, and Trump may well listen in the same way that that very thing apparently happened when he spoke to Tucker Carlson of Fox News, who's also known as more of a realist on foreign policy than a maniac, frankly, like Bolton. So that could happen, but I think we've got to temper the expectations, because Boris, when he, well, if he gets in, I think when he gets in, is going to be so preoccupied with Brexit and other domestic affairs that he may just delegate almost all foreign policy making to his foreign secretary, whoever that might be. But that being said, those conversations between him and Trump over the phone will happen. They'll certainly talk over the phone much more frequently than Trump and May spoke, and it's a time Boris's realism might kick in and give Trump, you know, an opinion that's a bit different than what he's hearing from John Bolton.
Okay, Adam, I'm afraid we've run out of time. I'm extremely grateful for your input, and we shall talk again, because obviously this theme is going to come up again and again now in the near future. I thank you very much indeed.
Absolutely.
Thank you, listeners, for being with us today.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.